I am not concerned that you have fallen. I am concerned that you arise. Abraham Lincoln. I might as well get it out of the way. Some of you may feel I'm not qualified to write this book. I don't hold any degrees from our country's prestigious universities. I enjoy reading about history, but I am no scholar. I am neither a sophisticated globetrotter nor an expert on foreign affairs. I am, however, someone who loves to learn about other cultures. This book tells my story of how living amid another culture in another country opened my eyes to my place in my own country. It was a 3-week visit in 2009 to run a marathon in Wales and see the sights in London that turned into a year-long immersion. But it also resulted in a personal discovery, seeing my own identity in my own country. In short, I felt like a true American for the first time in my life. Now, I should mention that I love America and feel I am a true patriot. Not in the my country right or wrong sense, or with a blind spot to how so much of America was built on the oppression of people of color. No, I am a patriot because I believe I have a duty to my country, myself, and my fellow Americans to ensure our leaders live up to the inspiring ideas of the words of our Constitution, especially when those words are used to subvert what I feel to be their underlying truth. But while I loved America and thought I knew what it was, my extended stay away helped me to better understand certain aspects. Check that. I realized there were some aspects of my country that I didn't understand, particularly how Americans view themselves as Americans. My stay in the UK was the first time I felt truly classified as an American. I was born and raised in California, but I am classified as an African American simply because my skin is brown and some of my ancestors hailed from the African continent. In reality, I am a mix of African, French, Scottish, and Native American blood. Yet because of the hue of my skin, I am immediately termed one thing, and that isn't even a full American, but one with the word African in front of it. I thought the reason for terms that put individuals into groups was to break down a large body of people into smaller units to more efficiently communicate with them, such as in presidential campaigns. Considering the vast diversity of America, not just the ethnic and cultural diversity we hear so much about in this era of identity politics, but also age, socioeconomic, geography, all the different factors that shape our perspectives, it would be logistically impossible for any candidate to reach them all with one message. So, instead of a unifying message to all Americans, we get ones tailored specifically to smaller groups of Americans, seniors or millennials, suburban soccer moms or rural residents, LGBTQ or so-called straight Americans. But nowhere are Americans viewed less as one collective, unified people with a shared concern and vision, and more as smaller groups with competing, if not opposing, concerns, than in terms of race and ethnicity. And regardless if those terms have or had hyphens, African American, Arab American, Mexican American, or don't, Black Hispanic, Latino. It is my contention in this book that the words and ways others use to describe what we are, and which we often call ourselves, do a disservice to who we truly are. Those words, which may have once been used with pride, have turned into labels, which now sow disunity, distrust, and even a palpable sense in 2020 America that there are only two kinds of Americans. One, real Americans who need no other descriptor or qualifier than the color of their skin. Two, every other American who needs something qualifying them as such. It will take work to change the perception that skin color defines a genuine American, because, as I will relate in this book, that perception existed before America did. And even though that perception is not shared by all Americans, it remains strong.